Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the RIP to our podcast. I'm your tour guide, Gary, and today it's just me and Tim. How are you?
Hey, what's happening? Didn't we just record?
2 days ago, bro.
That just means something, doesn't it?
It can only mean one thing.
We finally got an announcement.
Finally. So yesterday, Wednesday, the 17th of May, we finally got a Halloween Horror Nights announcement. And it wasn't tickets. It was a house.
I mean, we'll take that. I was hoping that there would be a house and tickets, but, you know.
Yeah.
Listen,
I mean,
you know,
at this point, I would rather take this is the state of things. I would rather take a ticket announcement than the house announcement, because I just want to know that I've got my tickets there sorted.
I totally agree with that. I wish it was a ticket announcement too, but it's all good. I'll take the house announcement too. I mean, we got to know what's coming too.
So yeah, definitely, definitely. But Tim, what house have we got?
Oh my God. So I don't think it's a huge surprise, but maybe the actual title of the house now. We have Universal Monsters Legends Collide. And then this is what the little brief description is. If you thought one Universal monster was scary, how about three? Better summon your Scream Squad, because you're about to get caught in the middle of an epic battle between the Wolfman, Dracula, and the Mummy, together for the first time ever. Their mission, to find the amulet that will break their curse, and they'll destroy anyone who gets in their way. I mean, I think this is amazing. I mean, I think we've discussed this before. I feel like when we discuss Halloween, don't you always just assume and think about, like, Universal Monsters, Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, the Mummy,
creature
from the Black Lagoon, you know, all of these like creatures that just go hand in hand with Halloween and horror. So
definitely they basically started, you know, the horror genre, if you will. So, you know, they've been going back for years now, and definitely a traditional vibe with Halloween when you think about those guys.
Yeah, for sure. Are you a little confused? I'm happy with the house. Don't get me wrong. I'm so excited for this house. I'm very hyped. But are you a little confused about, like, maybe the grouping of this?
So that's what I wanted to touch on. Like, obviously, there's no movie about this, you know.
Right,
like, we have
right.
the Frankenstein movie, The Bride of Frankenstein. We have each standalone movie, Mummy, Wolfman, Dracula. However, if you know, there's an age-old, you know, debate. Is it an IP? Is it original? Now, this sort of tears the line a little bit, because this is Universal using their own IP characters to make that own thing. So they're getting the best of both worlds. But I think with the Universal Monsters, there's that many combinations of characters that could put together that could keep on going for so long.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Do you know what
for
I mean?
Sure.
And yeah. I would be happy to see Universal Monsters in some form come back to the event every year. You know, we could say the creature versus the bride next year or something crazy
sure,
like that.
Sure.
So they could just tie it in for ages. And, you know, hopefully, I'm hoping this could reboot the Universal Monsters. You know,
they did
start the Dark Universe. Was it the Dark?
Yeah.
Dark Universe?
Well, yeah, something like that, where they had the Mummy was the first one with the...
Yeah.
Who was it? Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise, right? Yeah. Because I was sad that, you know, after
honestly,
that...
Honestly, it wasn't a terrible movie either.
It wasn't bad. I just think because the original was right up there, you know...
Sure.
Top tier, that anything after is not going to be as good.
Of course. Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is... I think we're in a... I don't even know what we want to call it, a phase of Universal Monsters. And I think this is also a very good tie-in, especially if it's going to Epic Universe, where they're going to have their own area. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. One thing I am confused about, though, is if they've brought Universal Monsters to Halloween Horror Nights, why close Monsters Cafe now? Why not wait until Horror Nights is finished?
And I know we kind of touched base on it on the last episode, but... Kind of weird now. So now, where's is there no Scare Actor Dining this year? We didn't really get into it or discuss that.
I've seen quite a few people like tweeting that out. They could put you know, Scare Actor Dining in a multitude of places. This is more restaurants than that. But Universal Monsters was a horror cafe. Where else are you gonna, you know, you can't put Scare Actor Dining in Lombards. without, you know, do you know what I mean? Without like it being readily made scary. Munster's just had that theme in there ready.
I'm actually surprised that they were just like, hey, it's gone. Why wouldn't you just like, all right, give it the one last hoorah it deserves then at this year's event?
And that's what people are angry about. There was no warning. There was no like, Munster's is closing, you know, end of July, end of June. It was just like, that's it, shut.
Yeah, that's it. We're closed. Sorry.
And I don't think that was the best way to handle it, especially considering there's a lot of diehard fans and pass holders out there. You know, everybody likes to say goodbye to their favorite attraction.
I agree.
And I know some people are probably just saying, you know, why are you upset? It's a cafe. It's just a place to eat. The food wasn't amazing. It wasn't about the food. Like, I've got so many good memories inside Munster's Cafe, like, of just hanging out at horror nights. When it gets too hot or when it's raining or when you just want some downtime, you know, they had the freestyle machines in there so you could just chill out and grab a drink and just sit and listen to the Universal Munster's music. They've just refurbished it not too long ago, within the last couple of years, I think. And also they just revamped the menu in 2019 into the barbecue place. So I can see why they would want to go with Minions, because that is the rumored theme.
Yeah,
but do we really need a whole Minions land?
I don't think so, but, you know, obviously kids love it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe we should petition and be like, hey, listen, give it the one last hoorah. Like, give it its deserved send off. You know, let everybody, give us Monsters Cafe for this event. Just one more year. I can't imagine. So what, we're in the month of May, June, July, August, September, October. So you're talking 5 more months. Come on. I don't think, you know, 5 more months is really going to put you so far behind, especially if you're just going to turn this into a Minions Cafe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So obviously, like, it depends when they start and work on it, really, because they could potentially just reopen it for Scarecrow Dining. But I can't see them sitting with an empty restaurant right at the front of the park for 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah, this is crazy.
Unless it's the staffing issue, because everywhere's struggling for staff, you know, with the whole COVID thing. So,
for sure. Could be anything.
Yeah. I'm assuming like they've got stats somewhere of which is the most eaten in restaurants and profitable in the park and stuff like that. But I'm trying to like think now where else they could logistically put Scarecrow Dining. I like, can't, you know, Lombard's is a pretty big restaurant. I can't see them putting it up in Simpsons Land because that's just a quick service which is packed during Halloween Horror Nights. It has to be somewhere near the front because, as I said, like, we've done it where you get escorted in the park, don't you?
Yeah, I can't even think where else they would do it, unless they do it in like, what's the place over in New York?
Finnegan's.
Louis. That's it. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean that it's getting right the way through the park before the event starts, though,
right?
Isn't it?
Right. So like,
you would go down that side entrance, between the two parks, and then you would just get escorted across the way into Munster's because you would check in by, you know, the old Blue Man Group. So I don't know. I personally think we're not getting Scarecrow Dining this year, personally.
I mean, that's what it's looking like. So, you know, it's fine if they don't want to do it, whatever. But then, you know, the boys from Fear and Beer brought up a good point. If that's where they were having lunch for the Unmasking the Horror Tour, where are we having lunch now?
Yeah.
So there's another question.
Now, as well,
go ahead.
On the unmasking, I mean, I've never done it before, but when I read like the description, it said lunch not included. You get a half an hour break. Now, is that a new thing in the email where you just go and break for half an hour and do what you want?
I don't know. I think they make you order lunch at the beginning of the tour.
Right.
And that's what they would do and then bring you to Monsters Cafe, unless they're going to bring you somewhere different now, you know, whether they bring you to Louis or...
Yeah.
Maybe they have something set up in, what's the other place, over by NBC?
Oh, the Cafe La Bamba.
La Bamba, yeah.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
You know, cuz that's during the day, they don't have to worry about like anything for like RAP tours and any of that kind of thing. So
yeah. So they'd have plenty of time
to change over to, you know, for the RAP tours later that night, cuz
definitely.
You know what I mean? Lunch is earlier, so.
So one thing that did come to my mind is, what would I like in place of scare actor dining? Now, the food at Horror Nights is becoming more and more of a staple of itself. I think it would be pretty cool to have the lanyards that you get at Epcot. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. What, for like tastings? Okay.
You know, like just, you know, you pay like $50 or something and you get like four.
I mean, that would be great, especially with like how they've just, you know, really up and stepped up their game for the food and drink offerings at Halloween Horror Nights over the last few years, you know?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, as I say, it's become, you know, a highlight of itself now, and it's not just the houses and zones, it's the entertainment, it's the food, the drink. So I think, you know, over like the last 5 years, the food offering has doubled how good it is. So just a little thing that I thought of would be pretty cool, because there's people that come just for entertainment and food and get to ride the rides at nighttime, you know. Exactly. Not necessarily, you know, sometimes I'll go and I'll probably do one house, you know, and I'll just have some drinks and some food and
sure,
just camp out in the zones.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You got to get all them hot pictures, buddy.
Yep. Well, that's what I spend most of my time doing anyway.
Exactly.
Should we dive a little bit more into the monsters ourselves?
Sure. Before we get there, I just want to tell everybody. So on the spec map, this was in location A, and it was called Universal Monsters, The Mummy versus Wolfman. So kind of close. What is it called? Legends Collide?
Yeah.
You know, and they've just added Dracula with Mummy and Wolfman. And I think, you know, obviously I feel like Dracula's like the OG, you know, him and Frankenstein. Right?
Yeah.
At least that's what I think when, you know, think of Universal Monsters. So I'm definitely looking forward to this. So, but yeah, let's dive deeper into the house and stuff. So,
well, obviously the Mummy, Wolfman, and Dracula are all characters in their own standalone movie. So I do have the plot of each movie up here, because I do know they're quite old movies, so a lot of people might not have watched them. I have only seen the Wolfman. I know I'm a really bad horror fan. I do plan on watching the Dracula and the Mummy over the next coming weeks. Have you seen any of them, Tim?
I think actually the only original one I think I would have to watch is the Mummy, but I think I've seen Dracula and Wolfman, so.
Well, I've got the plot here for the Mummy, and it says here, in 1921, a field expedition to Egypt discovers the mummy of an ancient Egyptian prince, Imhotep, who was condemned and buried alive for sacrilege. Also found in the tomb is the scroll of Thoth, or Toth, don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, which can bring back the dead to life. One night, a young member of the expedition reads the scroll out loud and then goes insane, realizing that he has brought Imhotep back to life. 10 years later, disguised as a modern Egyptian, the mummy attempts to reunite with his lost love, an ancient princess who has been reincarnated into a beautiful young woman. So, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
So, that is the Mummy. Again, these movies were made years ago, so they might not be, you know, everyone's cup of tea. Trying to see when this one was, 1932. That's when the Mummy came out.
Outstanding.
Now, I watched The Wolfman the other day. It was pretty good. It was a little slow in places.
Sure.
But this is the storyline for The Wolfman. Upon the death of his brother, Larry Talbot returns from America to his ancestral home in Wales. He visits a gypsy camp with a village girl, Jenny Williams, who is attacked by Bella, a gypsy who is turned into a werewolf. Larry kills a werewolf but is bitten during his fight. Bella's mother tells him that this will cause him to become a werewolf at each full moon. Larry confesses his plight to an unbelieving father, Sir John, who then joins the villagers in a hunt for the wolf. Transformed by the full moon, Larry heads for the forest and a fateful meeting with both Sir John and Gwen Confiln. So, it was an okay movie for being like, I think it was 1941, yeah, but it seemed to end quite abruptly. I'm guessing you're probably going to watch it, Tim, before you head to the event.
I'm going to watch. Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch them all again. Even though I know like none of these story plots are probably going to have anything to do with the house. I think they are going to come up with their own.
Definitely.
They talked about, you know, something about, you know, breaking the curse of an amulet. So.
Yeah, I just wanted to give people the, you know, the backstory for who didn't know about these characters. It's definitely going to be an unknown thing, but you never know. You might see some Easter eggs. So I just thought I'd give people a brief one. And the last one is the 1931 Dracula. After a harrowing ride through the Carpathian Mountains of Eastern Europe, Rainfield enters Castle Dracula to finalize a transferal Carfax Abbey in London to Count Dracula. That was a mouthful. Who was actually a vampire. And the rest of it is saying... In fact, I can't read it because it's went blurry.
Whoa. You need glasses there, buddy? Oh, wait.
No. The screen the screen has went blurry.
Oh, all right.
We'll have to take a pass on that one, unfortunately.
All right, then.
I'm sure everybody knows Dracula. Again, you know, it is going to be original. I just wanted to give people a little brief overview of the background of the characters. But I am very excited for this house. I didn't get to go through the last Universal Monsters house because of COVID. But the first one was one of my favorite of that year. So definitely looking forward to it.
Same, man. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. Now, awesome first announcement, I think, for a house. So,
and the video. We've got to talk about the video.
Oh, the video. So good. Everybody, the snacker. The snacker. Did you see, before we get into talking about the video, but did you see everybody like in their memes yesterday? Somebody stopped it at one point where the poster in the back said like Colonel Corn.
Yeah. There was a few Easter eggs. There was something from... There was a Slaughter Cinema 2 poster with the... What was it? The cannibal... What were they called? The cannibal women?
Yeah, something like that.
And then there, I think, was there a Meaty Meats Easter egg in there as well? I can't remember. It was quite blurry when I was trying to zoom in on the posters. But yeah, there was a few. Yeah. There was a few Easter eggs. It was very well filmed. And I like this new style of announcing houses with a mini little short movie. I think it's an awesome way to drop a house.
I hope they do that for, you know, some of the other houses too that get announced.
Definitely.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Should we? I mean, obviously it's a podcast, so you can't watch the video with us. But should we play some of the audio?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm telling you, you missed out.
I'll come out next time, but I'll see you later on tonight.
Just text me.
Bye.
Monsters, legends collide. Only at Universal's Halloween Horror Nights.
So yeah, that was the audio from
awesome,
the video.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely go check it out on it's on YouTube, it's on Universal's Twitter. And if you follow a few people from around Halloween Horror Nights, you'll know that it's been shared right the way around there. And yeah, very awesome. I am hoping, you know, we're going to start getting a more regular announcements now that, how many months are we off, Tim? Was it 4 you said there? Is it 4 months? 1, 2. Yeah, 4 months.
Yes, 4 months.
But just over to the start of the event. So
cannot wait.
Really, we should be getting probably something every couple of weeks, I'd imagine.
That would be my guess. And then, I mean, probably, all right. So maybe we get like, what, 2-3 more house announcements, and then maybe they drop like, remember they did that? Like they used to drop like 3 at a time at the end or whatever. Like, hey, this is the rest of them and everything else is announced. Here's the food. Here's this.
Yeah. It was usually like the scare zones, food and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, last day I'll hold my hand up. I didn't pay much attention because I knew I wasn't going. And it was a little bit sore. So I didn't really pay attention to when was dropped and what was dropped then. But we do have some listener call-ins, Tim. The first time this year we've actually mentioned it, because we keep forgetting that we've got this feature. And the first one is Adam from St. Louis.
What's up, fellas? Adam from St. Louis. I was just curious what you guys thought about the house announcement. Are you pro Wolfman, Mummy, or Dracula? For some reason, I think I'm Wolfman. Anyway, love to hear your responses. See you, fellas.
Ooh, man. Like, part of me just says Dracula. Like, to me, he's the OG. Like, you gotta love Dracula. But the other part of me, really, I've always been drawn to the Mummy.
Really? I think Team Wolfman. I think.
All right.
And the next one is from Matt.
What's up, tour guides? Matt Ripley here from East Tennessee. Recently gave you guys a shout out on Twitter and just wanted to say I appreciate y'all interacting with your fans. I thought that was really cool. Now, with this latest house announcement in Legends Collide, just wondering where you guys think it's going to hit on the scare meter, I guess you could say, whether it's overall creepiness or jump scares, things like that. Seems like it's a good chance for the scare actors to be active again, hopefully without that vinyl being there this year. Just to get an idea, what is your scariest or jumpiest house experience? Last year was my first year, so Hill House is up there for me, mainly because of the bowler hat guy. Got me every single time on my very first run, especially the guy at the end just obliterated me. I was standing outside afterwards in the rain with a Dufftoberfest wondering what the heck just happened, but loved it. Looking forward to 31 and hope to see you guys in the fog.
Well, thanks, Matt. I think this has a very good opportunity to be a very scary house, honestly.
Yeah.
Obviously you're going to have your jump scares, but I think if this is done correctly and done right, this could be a super scary house and I would look forward to that. That'd be amazing.
So I'm going to flip it. I'm leaning towards, it's not going to be as scary, but it's going to be very set heavy. I think it's going to be a very aesthetically pleasing house.
I definitely agree with that as well. I think it's definitely going to be set heavy, but I'm really hoping for a super scary house.
Definitely. And we, as for the bowler hat man, he's actually one of our friends. So I'm glad he got scared of him. He's a scary guy.
That last one, though, because he was the tallest one out of the three. When you're going through the house, every single time you knew it was coming. And it got, like, everybody would get wrecked by him. I mean, I got wrecked a couple times because I'm like, oh, man, I always forget he's coming.
He did the same in Frankenstein as well when he was in Universal Monsters. It was the last scare. And, yes. And you knew he was there, but every single time he got you. So what's your, you know, Matt just asked there, what's your, you know, I think I know the answer, but what is your, you know, scariest house?
Oh, I mean... Hands down, it is Scarecrow the Reaping.
Yeah, it's got to be. I've never been scared like that.
Yeah, there has not been another house like that since. Every year I pray that we get what is going to be the next Scarecrow. And not necessarily a Scarecrow house, but what is going to be the next scariest house.
I mean, that Thousand Corpses came sort of close.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was kind of solid.
With the terms of how closed in.
Yes.
In like claustrophobic the house was, but I've never had that nervous, anxious feeling that I've had once I was in Scarecrow.
Yeah. And you personally got to run Scarecrow by yourself.
That is the luckiest I have ever been. Like, we must have went on a super quiet night midweek and there was just nobody at the back of the park. And I was just like, I'm just going to head into Scarecrow one last time. And the house attendant was like, oh, you're the first one. I was like, really? does nobody else want to go first?
and you legit went by yourself because none of us were there.
Yep. I was like, literally the only person in that house. That's the memory I will treasure forever.
And I think the key is what you said is about the sprung tents, is that it's so claustrophobic that they can make it super scarier in the tents. Then I feel like in the sound stages, if that makes sense, I just feel like you're super, super like just enclosed in there. Cause there's been some good tent houses back there.
Oh,
Tomb of the Ancients comes to mind. Obviously, you know, Slaughter Cinema. The only reason I always love to talk about this is because of Zach, is Blumhouse. When we went through version one of the house, and it was me, him, and I think Luke was with us too. Like it was just the three of us. And we got to run this house by ourselves and to watch Zach jump from one side to the other, getting scared. It was just unreal. So I
remember that night, but I stupidly went to watch Academy of Villains instead.
Those sprung tents are definitely key, I think, in the scary factor, because they can make it really super tight in there.
Yeah. Awesome. So,
yeah.
Well, we have one left from Alexander Bashkov. So this is what he has to say.
All right.
What's up, tour guides? Alex here. You might have seen me on Twitter as Utter Wiggins. But yeah, Universal Monsters Legends Collide. It sounds completely awesome. I think we were all a bit wary of the versus concept we saw on the spec maps. But when they put such a cool name to it, I'm hyped. And let's be honest, we're here for everything HHN. So if this house is even a fraction as good as the Universal Monsters house from 29, it'll still be great. And I think that there's a lot of potential to give these monsters a fresh and cohesive story as opposed to that mashup style house that we saw previously. So I'm definitely looking forward to this house and seeing which monster will find that amulet and break their curse. Also hoping the final scare will be Brendan Fraser's scare actor yelling for his cup of coffee. And hey, big thanks to all of you guys for the great content. Cheers.
Thank you.
Okay, that was awesome. Let's talk about this for a minute. So Gary, you went through Universal Monsters in 2019, right?
Yep, many times.
But you did not get to go through Bride.
Nope, which I'm really sad about because he's one of my favorite monsters.
So if I had to decide which one was better, I would pick the Bride.
Okay.
So nothing against the first one, because the first one is really, really amazing. It's just like what Alexander was just talking about. It's a mashup of everything, because everybody was in there. The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Phantom of the Opera, you know, Gilman, you know, everybody was in there. Whereas Universal takes it another step and made their own story for the Bride and, you know, and Frankenstein and everything else, you know, going on in that house. And I think that's what makes it better in my eyes, because whereas that's just a mashup, there wasn't really like a story or a cohesiveness to the house. It was still amazing, don't get me wrong. Whereas, and I think this will apply to this house as well with, you know, with the Legends, that the story is going to be the one like that is really going to be the star of the house, you know, and explaining everything and showing everything off. I think Universal does such a great job, especially with their own property,
yeah,
of making these stories, you know, hello, start making them into movies. You will get a lot of people to see this. And I know you didn't get to see the facade at Brides, but that whole castle scene in the beginning is
I did watch a walkthrough.
Oh, you did? Okay. Beginning is just absolutely bonkers. It's so good. So I can't wait to see like what kind of facade we get for this house. Is this going to be at Dracula's castle? Where is it going to be? You know what I mean?
And also one little thing, it says about only one can get the amulet. Do you think it's going to be an icon situation where it's different every night?
I don't know. I kind of read it as to break the amulet's curse is for all of them. That's just how I'm reading it. I could be wrong. I don't think it's going to be another icons where somebody is at the end, because nothing of that is kind of mentioned. But I think it's just almost like an Avengers story where the three of them are trying to fight everybody to get this curse broken.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps up this little mini episode.
That's it? We're done?
Yep.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, it's only one house, so more to come.
Two episodes in 3 days ain't bad, as it, guys.
I mean, that's pretty. This is bonus material right now here.
Even though Ash couldn't join us because he's too busy at Universal having fun.
What a damn him!
And Luke's working.
And Luke is
today.
Working, so yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's at Universal, but he's working.
Yeah, I know, so.
But, Ash, what are you doing? Couldn't take time out for the boys?
I know. This guy's always thinking about himself. Always.
I can't say anything because he picked me password and magnet up for us, so I can't really say anything.
I did. I saw that. I was going to say, I did see that. That's awesome. So
yeah.
But this
yeah.
is it. This is great, man. This is the first of many announcements to come, so we'll drop like smaller episodes like this in the future as the announcements come. And
This is it. They're going to be shorter episodes, aren't they? Because you can't really fill...
Correct.
A huge amount of time just talking about one house. But I'm excited to get all 10. Then we can do the hype episode.
I mean, I feel like that's the most, you know, wanted episode for everybody in podcast land is, you know, the hype list for the event, right?
Definitely.
Scare zones.
And I get to do it this year.
You do. You are back. You are here for the full deal, dude.
It was awful having to miss last year. I've been going every year since 25, and I have to miss it because something out of my control was just so hard. And I actually did have the hype list typed up as well, and then I just got the bombshell that I couldn't go.
I know. We definitely missed you, but you know what? We're going to make up for it this year.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go hard. We're going to be doing everything.
We are. For sure.
So, Tim, where can people find us?
Oh, can't you ask somebody else? Oh, wait. Damn it. We are RIP Tour Podcast at RIP Tour Podcast, and we are on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We have a Discord server. What else?
We have a merch store.
We have a merch store. Spreadshirt, is that what it is?
It is, yep. It's all on the Twitter,
that.
And it's
correct.
In the podcast notes as well. So if you're listening and you want to cop some RIP to our merch.
So, actually, somebody just bought a hat before. I just got an email about it. So thank you, whoever bought a hat.
It was Jason. Jason Malsby.
Hey, thanks, Jason.
He bought a hat and a shirt.
Sick. Awesome.
And also, we've just got the very first draft back of our specific shirt.
Don't say anything.
Not going to say anything else, but it's gonna be
a good one.
Yeah.
Promise.
This'll be the best design we've dropped in the last 3 years.
Agreed.
And I know we keep saying we're gonna get the posters done, but this t-shirt will make up for it, honestly.
For sure. Yeah. I just wasn't happy with how the prints came out, and I just never went to get them redone again. So I will look into that further again. Honestly, I did some prints out of Staples not too long ago, and they actually came out really good. Not for this, it was for something else. So,
oh, cool.
Not gonna lie, they came out really, really nice. So, I might have to look into that.
Awesome. But yeah, guys, you are gonna, this shirt will be ready before the event, so you're gonna wanna make sure you get it when it drops because it's gonna be so good. But yeah, that's gonna wrap this little mini episode up with just me and Tim. And we should be back next week with a full episode, unless we get another announcement. So thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.